So I thought we should play, I thought before we move on at all, we're going to play another track, which is their first single, which wasn't on the album. It was on the American release of the album, but it wasn't on the British release of Roxy Beauty. Came out a few months later, but it's one of their most fondly remembered records. This is Roxy Music, Virginia Plain. So you hear that stylistically, it's a bit smoother, it's a bit more anticipating the direction Roxy Music are going to go in as they become increasingly commercially successful, really over the course of the next decade. One thing I would say about that particular song, Virginia Plain, is it is a classic example for me of early 70s Dylanism. Like we could do a whole show at some point about the struggle of rock lyricists over the course of the 70s into the 80s to get out from under the shadow of Bob Dylan, and the idea that it is Dylan who is the definitive figure of rock as an art form, and what it means to practice rock as an art form is to produce these lyrics in the style, in particular, of the late 60s Bob Dylan. In other words, these very elusive lyrics full of images that seem a little bit nonsensical, but making some sort of allusions mostly to American history and culture. So if you actually read the lyrics of Virginia Plain, you know, the character of General Lee, like Robert E. Lee, appears for some reason as a character who the narrator is talking to or addressing. And it's this sort of dreamlike collection of images of Americana, not really British culture in this case, which really looks like a sort of pastiche of Dylan's lyrics on an album like Highway 61 Revisited. But yeah, the same is true of like Bruce Springsteen's first album is full of these sort of Dylanisms, as I would call them, these dense lyrics which are just seem to be sort of symbolic or surrealistic in quality. And then it's only a bit later he starts writing the sort of, you know, very moving exercises in social realism that he would come to be better known for. So there's this whole phenomenon, I think, in this period of the shadow of Dylan kind of towering over the rock lyricists as they try to define themselves. This is a pretty good example, I think.
And I think Bowie goes on to do this a lot as well. It's very, the writing is quite improbable. There are these, you know, characters and scenes are set, and it has an ambitious and writerly feel to what's said. It doesn't convey conventional stories, and it's not conventionally about, you know, the great themes of rock and roll don't straightforwardly feature. I mean, there always seem to be threatening to break through some aspects of a kind of prog rock as well. You know, there's the basic rock and roll kind of element, which is gets to be foregrounded and has that kind of teenage impulse that I think Simon really appreciates, that kind of, you know, that raw pop rock and roll appeal. But then there are ways in which, you know, on top of that, there's layered, there are indeed aspects of kind of studio experimentation. I mean, I think that's also what, well, I was going to also add, there are sometimes, we're going to come on to talk about Bowie, but there are some thematic flights of fantasy that are more akin to kind of what's going on in prog rock, really. But on Virginia Plain, there's also, within this thematic, although it sounds quite rock and roll-y, there's an oboe, there's a motorbike kind of sounds. I think I read somewhere that they actually got, they went out and recorded a motorbike on the street or something to kind of get that sound effect. I mean, the Beatles have been doing this stuff already for definitely 3 or 4 years, so it's not straightforwardly innovative, but it's embracing that spirit of innovation, I think. It was suggested they write a single, and somehow or other they had not thought about what a single would sound like or what it might normally consist of. So there's no chorus in Virginia Plain, and it stops very abruptly.
Yeah, it's that famous non-outro. It just stops.
Exactly. So this is also quite, let's call it spontaneous, maybe. I don't know how thought through that all was, but it comes across as being, you know, it does have a strong elements of being of unconventionality.
Yes, it does. Yeah, quite self-consciously.
And there's Eno as well, you know, kind of, you know, tinkering away on the, I think it's the VCS3 synthesizer.